listening to the Confessions of a Clairvoyant Housewife podcast. From marriage to menopause and margaritas, nothing is off the table. This is Cindy Goldenberg.
Thank you for joining me today. I'm going to interview Krista Garner. She is a music producer and radio personality, and she and I were on the show Stalked by a Ghost back in 2013. So this is going to be like old home week. We're going to talk about what it was really like, how we filmed it, what you didn't see, all the behind the scenes, as well as catch up on what it's like to be a sensitive empath. So today I'm going to have a good friend on. Actually, it's someone I met when I did a TV show years ago. Her name is Krista Garner, and I met her on a show I did for Bio Channel that's not really on anymore, I think it's, but it was an affiliate of A&E. And it was a show that I got as an audition. They were asking for a ghost whisperer. So when I went on and auditioned with the producers, young guys, really nice, had done a lot of reality TV, I said, I'm not going to do, you know, ghosty, like, who's here? What do you got to say? I'm going to go in and talk about the person, and I'm going to bring forgiveness and light and do all this airy-fairy good stuff. And I'm going to tell you the reason why everything happens the way it does. And so I did. But I was hired to be part of a show that was edited and made into a reenactment. But 90% of what went on, you didn't see. Since that time, I've remained friends with Krista Garner, who is a music producer and a radio personality and a beautiful, darling woman. So I see you're on, Krista. And so we're going to talk about then and now. So here we go. Give me a minute. We did it! I feel so technologically smart, you know, anything to do with, sorry, I'm just dripping. And even though I have air conditioning, it is Miami and it is hot. But I hate anything technical and computer. And throughout the years, every time I've done a workshop or a talk, I make my son do everything. And I said, it just puts me out of the mood. I can't do what I need to do. So just getting you on here. Welcome, Krista, and thank you for doing this. You're my very first guest.
And I'm so glad to be your very first guest. I understand what you're talking about when it comes to the technology, because I had to get my daughter, and I'm like, how come it's not working? Because I'm just like you. I really don't get it, even though we need to know all this stuff.
I don't want to know. It's another part. It's another part of my brain. I'm educated. I had a C-section and a VBAC. I should have everything. Here's a color. Press that. Do this. You know, it should be that easy. And yeah, we're going to get lots of little highs and hellos because everybody wanted to hear. So as I sit here and fuss with myself and everything, as you know, because it's funny, I called you first back, I think, in December. And I know we've talked a few times, and the show was on in 2013, right? Something like that.
Yeah, around that time.
Okay. God, time flies. So, yeah, I was living in L.A. and you still live there and everything. Okay, so my son said, Mom, even before the quarantine and everything, he said, you have to teach and you have to satiate that need for talking because you need to do something. And he goes, why don't you do a podcast? And I said, I don't know how. So he showed me how when he was out here, and then he said, and plan on having someone else talk besides you. And the first person I thought of was you. And I called you and we talked about, you know, I said, I'm going to call it Confessions of a Clairvoyant Housewife, which is a book that I never finished about all my stories and anecdotes. But the byline was menopause, marriage, and margaritas, kind of like, we're at this age where, intuitive or not, we're kind of just giving it up, surrendering, and becoming our own new women, right? And you said, I'm in, I love all that. But before we got there, you know, or where we're at, I know you have a daughter in college, and I do too. We had to go raise kids and do everything that we needed to do. But I really wanted to focus on women who are, without being known, just dynamic, successful in being a mother and being a child and taking care of family, taking care of business, and mostly being in the game, willing to try. And you are the epitome of that. And we have maybe not hung out or had a lot of friends, you know, we have mutual friends or different things, but I admire you firstly for being all those things. Plus, I'm just going to tell everybody, you are a blue aura, so you're like me. Very, very much alive. It's very much your nature to give. So saying all those things, I wanted to say thank you for supporting me, and what I want to do is just like have fun. I'm not having a margarita. Maybe I should. But I wanted to just talk frankly about how it is, where we're at, what we can do to be a better version of ourselves. But let's start at the beginning of how we met in 2013, that you tried out or called in, or I don't know how they set it up, for a ghost show, how we're there and now where we're at. So tell me your point of view of how that all happened and how you were chosen.
Yeah, so I saw this listing on Craigslist. I believe it was Craigslist. And basically what they said is, if you feel you have, you know, any type of encounters, whether they're ghost encounters or some type of paranormal encounter, you know, we'd like to hear your story. And honestly, I've felt things since I was a child. And I don't really share that with a lot of people because a lot of people just simply never believed me. But right. I remember since being a child, I remember my mom had a very good friend that would babysit me. And I was terrified to be in her house because I could feel something always walking, like pacing back and forth in her living room. And I was terrified. So ever since then, I knew I could feel stuff, but I wasn't sure what it was. But I knew that it just made me feel uncomfortable. So I put that on the back burner. And it was about 2000, I want to say it was like around 2005. I was living in this one location. And out of the blue, I was just laying in my room and I saw a presence that just said to me, I'm going to kill you. And I was like, I can't believe this.
That's right. That would freak me out. Yeah. Yeah. I remember this now.
Yeah. And I to this day, I remember the face, and it was like, for lack of a better word, he looked like maybe a gang member type of person. Like, it was a face. I just saw this face, like a bald headed guy. And he was very scary to me. And I remember jumping in the back of the bed and I was like, I can't believe this. This is not real. Like, I was really freaked out. Then I started feeling different things in and out, different things were going on in my house that made me feel uncomfortable. So I moved. Then I moved to another city. And when I moved to this other place, things started to get worse. Ringing of the doorbell, and I'd go downstairs, or my boyfriend go downstairs, and nobody's there. And you can't get into where we live because there was a gate. You'd have to have a key to get in that gate. So, and my neighbors next door, they were in their 70s. They're not going to play games and ring the doorbell and run away. I mean, it's just, there's no way it could happen. Then I would hear things in the shower, like loud noises. And it would just drive me crazy. It was so annoying. Then it started to get really bad when I was physically harmed laying down. I literally felt somebody punch me in my stomach.
Punch. I remember you. You were punched. Yeah.
Yes. And that's when I said, I'm going to contact the show. And I remember my audition, I started crying because a part of me was uncomfortable sharing the story, thinking that I was going to be made fun of. But I was so desperate to find out, could it be my daughter's father who passed away tragically? So I figured maybe it's him trying to give me a message I don't know, but I wanted to know what was going on, especially that figure at that other location that said straight to me, I'm going to kill you. I will never forget that.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I, when I remember talking about it, I just was happy to be able to do something to have some credibility. And not that I didn't, but, you know, when you're in L.A., it's like everybody has a headshot or you do extra work because it's the entertainment capital and there's things happening. But I had written a book on forgiveness and I go an entirely different route. And I'm really one of these conceited, like, oh, I don't even talk about the word psychic. They bore me and everybody's so, but I go to them or I have them or I network with them. So I talk both sides of my mouth and I ask for forgiveness. But what it means is I'm just older and I know what I do and what I feel and I am grateful for it. And everybody else bores me. Is that conceited? So from my point of view, when I answered, you know, this thing, I was very happy that the man putting it together was right on board. Because I said, look, if this is going to be one of these, like, you know, and he goes, I like you because you're unapologetic. And right away, I started telling him things about generalizations. Like there were some people not chosen because I said, like, it's just too, there's a lot of heroin going on or a lot of, you know, so I could kind of feel without being like, okay, turn left, turn right, there's something there. And so when they said, okay, we have a group of people, can't, you know, and again, I guess because we have time, and they, it wasn't like they were, I was already hired, they weren't questioning me, but they liked this. And they're kind of like, well, what do you feel about this? And I go, if you keep asking me, I'm not talking. I'm going to open up to the highest good of me and you and whoever this person is and whoever is walking around and everything else. I'm going to go where God goes or angels go or whatever. But that's my method. I'm not pushing you, but that's me. And when I go there, don't bug me. like, you know, I'm a spiritual bitch. Like I go into this blissful state because I know, like, tuning a radio station or something, I'm going to get just a detached story or a description and not have, you know, like not really emote and be in it. I'm just going to witness it. But if I express it, it's not me. I won't remember. And so, you know, it's like one or the other. So for me, I can remember certain people, and then when I meet them, or I, you know, when because I never met you before, I wasn't allowed to, and that's legitimate. You know, it's like I asked for that too. Like I don't want to pick up on anything, but as the show was, it was like the producer would ask me on camera, but you wouldn't hear his voice. Here we are, and you're going to meet Krista, just your first name or something. And they had already started filming with you and I'm hanging out like in the car in the air conditioning, you know, or doing my nails or texting, you know, I don't know. But and then but by that time, you were the last one that we had filmed. And so, again, sorry for my nose running, but whatever. Plus, before I even got older, menopausal, my nose runs when I do spiritual work because it's like an elevated frequency. But by the time we got to you and your house and your, and I remember that gate and everything in there, you were the last one. I was like, you know, in the groove, nothing, I'd already been hit by a million rocks and, you know, tornadoes and problems and earthbounds and ho-hum, right? You know, like unfazed. And you were so refreshing. But going back to my POV of that day, like you're hired and then you talk to them, then they come out and I'm sure the film crew and you start, I don't know, we're talking because they're going to edit it all together. When I came up to your door, as per each place that we filmed, he would ask me, what do you feel? And right away, without even trying to hold it, I'm in the zone. I just like step out of me and, you know, I've already done my trust work and everything. And right away I'm getting like a person. And even when I watch the show, I don't even remember even saying that. And I start getting everything. And if I could have gone back, I would have just said, here, baby, hold this thought, or you hold that camera and you hold that mic, follow me. Like, just let me go. Let me unchain and talk. And since the other ones, I really had to wait for them to talk, to film it and show me listening. But in the meantime, you just ask me what happened, so I'm open. It's hard to hold the angels at a gate. It's hard to hold the spiritual energy and wait for common logic. With you, he said, I'm going to let you out of the gate. He didn't completely, but you were the different. And I feel, and everybody told me, your episode was the best. Because it was like, just go in and talk and do your thing, and we're not going to make you stop and stand on a mark and let her talk. You just do you. And I was like, whew. And I remember just going in and your little sweet face, and I just felt you and everything so beautiful and say, but I felt like, you know, when you watch, you know, especially like news shows late or whatever, TV, not cable, maybe not like Netflix and stuff like that, but regular television. And it's hard for me to watch anybody. They put those wounded animal commercials on that last for like 2 minutes. And you see the little puppy that you love. That's how I felt. I thought, this is a beautiful, beautiful girl and a woman. And it's, why would I change her? She's this beautiful puppy with the little eyeliner eyes and everything else. And nobody has paid any attention and been neglected. And she's just so sweet. And I just thought, this is a 1-2 punch. And I remember then after a while, he said, okay, you have to stop. And I was like, when I look back at the show, I remember being asleep with my eyes open because I just... You know, I had to hear you talk, but I remember saying things like right away about your husband and everything and the names. And I forgot that I did, but I just wanted to relive that. I haven't talked about it like this, but, you know, it was fun to do this show. On the other hand, it wasn't fun to do it in a method, even though I understand film and filming and 1 or 2 camera people. And then he'd have to reenact your story and get an actress that looked like you to say, this happened to me, because it's storytelling. But for me, it's not storytelling. It's either I'm in or I'm out. Here's what's happening. Here's what I feel. I could care less whoever is here bothering you. I'm talking to your higher self. I'm talking to your team. I'm talking to everything loving to say, just give me some postcards or give me a little story or hand me a little music that I can relate. What can I tell her, you know, or tell everyone? So that was my method. But anyway, do you want to talk about what happened, or I'll be quiet?
Well, you know, it was amazing that I loved. When you walked past me, there was this beautiful gust. It was like a calming. I've never felt anything like it. When you walked past me, it was like this beautiful gust of wind that was following you. And it was like a breeze. And I was like, what is that? Do you know what I'm talking
Yeah,
about?
I felt that way with you too. Yeah.
It was great because I literally sat on my couch and I felt the wind come by when you walked past me. So it was like, it was attached to you. It was, I don't know if there were angels or whatever it was. As you walked by, I felt the nice cool breeze as you were walking by. If that makes any sense.
It does.
Yeah. And then you, for lack of a better words, when you were talking about my daughter's father, it's like you became him because you said stuff that nobody ever, ever would know except for me and him. And it's like you became him. So it was the best experience I've ever had.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. But it was like, not only do I respect it, the process, because, and by the way, for people that have never or know me or anything, like, I'm not really, quote, a ghost or a, when they go, oh, you're a mediumship and you talk to dead people, I'm like, yeah, like 5%, or yeah, or I can tell you, yeah, maybe there's somebody in your kitchen or something. That's like 5%. But the other 90%, 95% is, oh, Krista, look at this. It's like, give me an hour or two to describe all the things you are. And then when I'm all done, you can ask me a question. Somebody punched you, what? You know, I tune into all that is real. And then if there is a problem or a situation, once it gets filtered down and explained, nothing is frightening. Never is. Doesn't mean I don't get frightened or whatever. I just took a trip a year ago to Charleston, South Carolina, because I was up there and then looking at a college and everything with my daughter and my son was in town. And I said, F it. You know, I need a vacation and I don't care. I'm going to put it on a charge card. I look at him and go, let's use your charge card. And we went up to Charleston. And the first thing we did was I go, let's go on a ghost tour. And even when we were on a ghost tour, you know, it's like, okay, I'm real, you know, I'm saying a little prayer and I go, don't bug me, don't scare me, don't do anything. So I'm like anybody else, but it was so fascinating to hear stories, and those places are kind of spooky because unfortunately they were torturous or prisoners or, you know, when you get a lot of pain and a lot of agony and it, you know, anyway, it was interesting, and I took some videos, and then I sent it in, and then I could hear a little kid playing, like squealing, like playing ball, and ha ha ha, and there was no kid there. And then I remember on the tour, they said there's a little child that comes in here with some other, with a mother and some other people, and then there's another little boy that feels like a kitty, and I felt the little softness on my leg, and I just smiled, and then when I didn't get him on film, but a couple times when I was just filming the guy talking, I sent it to him and I go, oh, I hear the little child. So it was fun, and it was more spooky walking back to our hotel at night than it was. But back to you and the whole situation, you know, just as a quote, psychic, intuitive, or just like you, we all are this. We're so tuned in to feelings and emotions. I mean, there's just always an orchestra going on. But as a human being, when you first, quote, start, or when you are young, or when you are interested or curious about, quote, the ethereal world or paranormal, the easiest thing to touch something tangible is something that's more dense, you know, just the mechanics. Dense is just a heavier frequency, just like, you know, energy, like a rock. If I hit myself with a rock, I'm going to hurt myself, but it's vibrating, right? It's everything has a vibration. So if there was something horrible or sad or even subconscious, we all carry a denseness or a frequency or a heaviness, if there was an incident or, you know, so if we can just look at it kind of like, I live here in Miami and I got a discount. I'm living on the bay. I have pretty Miami nighttime view because I got construction right next door. So the construction is the sound and it's awful and it's negative, not today, but, you know, they're building the foundation. And so if we were in there inspecting the foundation, it's like we can do it, but then we want to get to the point where we can sit and relax and enjoy the view. But if you're constantly stuck in that dirt and everything else trying to figure it out, but that's the easiest to kind of feel or tune into is the negativity or the pain or the sound or the whatever else. Those are the things that are everywhere. So as I tell you about your situation, then we'll talk some more. I know you already know this, but I'm saying it for people who are listening. This isn't about you did anything wrong and you're you got some ghosts to punish you. And it's not anything to say like, oh, well, if I were better and more elevated, this wouldn't happen. I've had a voice say, you know, like, or in a light dream, like, I could kill you. And in my dream, I thought, really? After all, like, bring it on. And then even in my dream, I thought, and it was like a big snake and symbolic. And I have a person that does snake dream interpretation is very good. And then what followed in my personal life, it made sense.
Yeah.
But in the dream state, it was like, you know, heart attack or something to the side of my face. So was that real? Was that awake? If I was really awake, was there someone standing there? Yes. So just briefly, all of us as children have had psychic experiences, and right. they are frightening. They're not happy because we are children. We are vulnerable, and we don't know the difference. Or when I would tell, if my mom and I slept over at grandma's apartment up in Hollywood, I would wake her and go, don't you see that little puppeteer walking, and he's going in the hall, and now someone's coming out of the wall? And then she'd go, no, but I believe you. But I had little haunty thing, you know. So there, from the get-go, let's just say what I just said, as a child or a new person, the easiest thing to pick up is a lower vibration, and children are vulnerable. And if they see something that is scary, and plus TV and everything else, now we have that fear factor our whole life that if anything is invisible, it's threatening and scary, and it could hurt us. For a kid, yeah. But as we get to an adult, we just go, are you fucking kidding me? I need sleep. You know, like... You know, but anyway, so you didn't do anything wrong, but back to you, is of all the people, I think you were, without knowing or having words, it was just like you say, a wave. With me looking at you, it was like, she already knows all this, and she's already elegant and a fairy and sensitive, and she doesn't need to intellectualize. She just needs this to be removed and let her live her life. You know, it's like, I don't have to explain it because, you know, other people need a lot of help and handholding. But I do want to say, and it was unfortunate, but I have used your story in so many workshops from 10 people to 2,000. Wow. And Krista's, so this is what I got when I first walked in. And then I'm just going to sum up the whole show and what the whole thing was about and the earthbound that was around you. And then I'm going to back up and tell you some other factors of why it was being perpetuated. But your husband and you were a mother to be, you were pregnant, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So you were pregnant. And when I walked in, I'm just paraphrasing. I believe this is what I remember. As I said, your husband, it feels like a head injury, like he went through right. something in his head and he died. Yeah. And you said, yes,
right.
he
exactly
went,
what happened.
And he went through right. the windshield. So he yes, went through yeah. a windshield in a car accident, very loving man. I don't remember kind of channeling him, but I'm sure I did. But I can just remember him just being, you know, your guardian angel. And even though you're with your fiance for years and your daughter and everything, it isn't, you know, from their point of view, it's all love, and you know, you have right. someone with you, and you are very intuitive, and I never would tell you to like button that down, you know, and then protect yourself and all this stuff. But hold that thought. I'm looking at the clock because I could talk the whole time, and I want to make sure you talk too. But your husband went through a windshield, and then you had all these little spooky things happen, and I remember because what was that? Build-A-Bear? The place that you go and you get the little bear? And
yes.
you had one on the couch? Because I had those with with my daughter, too, you know. And you said you came in one time and the clothes were off. And then you
yes.
went and did something, came back in, the clothes were on. And I thought, oh, that would make me go, whoa. Like, I can take videos, my son and I, you know, when we lived in Tarzana, which is a part of L.A., near you, I'd have people over, we'd edit, and you know, for a while I was writing different TV shows and trying to pitch different things, and I've always interviewed people, and then as I go back and my son edits, you can see orbs or things move, and you know, and that doesn't faze me. But if I saw a doll like dressed and not dressed, I would go, oh my god.
Yes, so I thought, yes, That was one, and I forgot, Cindy, because you reminded me. There was this specific doll I have, a bunny, and the clothes would be on, and I thought someone's playing with me. I thought it was somebody in the house, but it wasn't. The clothes would be on. I put the clothes on, go to the kitchen, the clothes were back off. They were toying with me, as well as my keys. My keys were always missing, and I'm like, I put them on the table. Where are they now? And they'd be under the couch. They'd be all over the place, but it was always in the living room. There was some type of drama.
Yeah, I do remember that. But yeah, like I say, everybody's was a little bit of a different story. But as far as a good old-fashioned pain in the ass ghost person, you win. Here, let's give you a sticker. You know, it's like... But, okay, so I remember that, and then I remember you crying, and I thought, you know, I'm sorry, but he is with you. And then, you know, the other part of me, the blue aura teacher, you know, like, let me take care of you and Vulcan mind meld tell you everything, is like, relish your tears. That means your loved ones or your angels or your higher guides or whatever, not that you're thinking about them when you're shopping for broccoli, but when you're not thinking about them and shopping for broccoli and you go and cry, please take a moment and let it happen, because that means they are with you, through you, all of the above. So you have that ability, and you've had that ability your whole life, but now it's being condemned because now all the unwelcome ones are coming in. So what you had, so anyway, your husband died of a head injury, and what I said right at the front door before you, and I forgot I said it, and then I remembered I had to bring it up, is when he said, what do you feel? And I said, there's somebody really mad and angry, and he's got a baseball bat, and he's mad. And then I remember having to put a plug on it, and that was hard all day. And then to be opened back up and go, it's just 1, 2, 3, punch. You went to a park, either near there or where you used to live. And I don't know if this was a week before or 50 years before. In truth, there is no time, and there's many different things, but the attraction to you was, oh my God, there's somebody who understands what it's like to mourn someone with a head injury. Head injury, head injury. I was killed by a baseball bat. I'm a gang member. I was killed. I don't want to be dead. No one's listening to me. No one's listening to me. You will listen to me. You'll feel me. I'm frustrated. Punch. Hey. But not just you, Krista. It is the person reliving their own hell. They still feel alive of, I could kill you. Not you, but the person who did it. I could kill you. I hate you. You did this to me. So what is that? That's a frustration. Frustration. So when we start to look at words, their intention, their outcome, emotions, and feelings, and we just slowly separate them. It's kind of like unpacking a kitchen. You put the silverware and certain things. You put the cups over here. We don't just dump it all together. So if we look and we go, okay, vulnerability, innocence, beauty, love, unconditioned, husband, head injury, death. You got to be alone, like I said. You got to be resilient, like I said. Doesn't mean you don't cry. Doesn't mean you lay on the floor for years and try to put a nickel together and clip a coupon. But it means there's a quiet willingness, okay? An empathy and a compassion, of course. And you have the daughter. So you have the baby anyway, and now she's your daughter and only knows her father in spirit. All beautiful. Now, what you have in common with everybody else in that show that was never discussed and cannot be disclosed and really isn't interesting because it didn't follow the format of a reenactment ghost show, like you and me, and when I use the word enabling, codependent, I'm not talking about a cocaine addicted, alcoholic husband, boyfriend. We're past that. This is 2020. We are talking about nuances of growing up to be sweet and vulnerable and good girl. Growing up to be, if I'm quiet, mommy or daddy won't yell, or if I'm this or what this way, or if I'm good, the person that walked in the room won't notice me. They're little nuances, no, not good or bad. Here I'm quoting A Course in Miracles. There's no good or bad. It's just upside down or right side up. But it is a pattern that we ingrain in ourselves, and especially women, because we're nurturers, is that I can control the outcome by being available, kind, soft, and reactive to you. Nowhere in that sentence, again, no good or bad. It's like I'm 6'1". I know you're not. You were cute and petite. But I, you know, if I go in a little house in England, I got to mind my head. So you and I being blue aura, forget about it. It's our nature, our quiet urge to let me help you. Puppy. Right. I love puppies. You love puppies. I love my children. Yeah. I'm a fucking great freaking mother. I love my kids. You love your daughter. You did it. But at the same time, we were seeded as infant, even pre-infant, to not me, you first. Not me, you first.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And then, yeah. Right. And so, yeah. But that's not a bad thing. And you have to be that way as a mother. And you have to be that way as a single mother. And you're a widow and blah, blah, blah. Okay, fill in the blanks. But even if you weren't all these things. We have learned to, and then we go, no, but these are all good things. And I say, yes, write them out and say that and say, thank you, God, for making me this way. But now let's come to a moment like these are age spots. I'm 63. I have to wear sunscreen. I can't just blaze in the sun. So I am a blue aura, sensitive, codependent. My urge is to nurture and help. This isn't serving anyone anymore. And it's certainly not serving me. And it's not my ego, but it's a vibration. And the vibration says, she'll take care of you before yourself. So without even doing anything, here's my point. I know I talk a lot, but I like to storytell because it's a good point. You and everybody else in that Stalked by a Ghost show had young or old, whatever, the similar things were, they all took care of family members, be it, and I'm going to be very vague, kids, dementia, schizophrenia,
right,
dying, it could be husband, whatever, don't know they're dying, the family member, extended family member, or a recent death, or a brutality, or moved into a house where things like that happened, or had in their own family, you're too sensitive, you need to go to the place where the shrinks take care of you. You need to go, you need to be, it's your fault. So all these things of these people that had to take care of their either children or spouse or mother or father. And this is serious, and I'm the same way. I parented my parents, and one died, then I had to take care of the other one, and I had to take, and yes, you get like a martyr, and you cry, and whatever else, but your mother stepped into your apartment right after I said hello to you, which we do at the door. After I had said my introduction of there's a man, there's a da-da-da-da-da-da, and then I just kind of nipped it off. But I was open, but I had to close it back down. And I felt like, oh my God, I'm in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Again. Not just you, everyone else. You all, and I felt like saying, just give me the mic and go, you know, every person in, you know, and it's okay. I'm the same way too. We're not insane. My mother's not insane. But when things go wrong or people lose their mind or they get cancer or something or fear or whatever else, we are open up to earthbounds that go, yeah, me too, me too, me too, me too. And your mother was beautiful and stunning, but came in and what's going on and what are we doing? And afraid and fearful. Yes. And she had this chariot marching, you know, earthbounds of we are, you know, and they support her. And it was like, I told the guy producer, we got to clear. Let's take a minute. I can't. I just fell under an avalanche. Like, I got to get myself a little, you know, pump them back up, get makeup. And this is no put down, but her kind of, her personality and what came up and even in the show was, and I wanted to say, you, just like everyone else, are saddled with taking care of your family and in this case, your mom and her beliefs and your patterns and your triggers, and they all go, not dead end, they all go to the same place, not Krista.
Yeah.
Not Krista.
I gotta tell you, you made me laugh because you nailed my mom. My mom, I love her. But
yeah, me too.
Intensive person you're ever going to meet. I mean, she walks in the room and she is in charge and lets all of you know it. What are you doing? What's going on? And it really frightens a person. I love her, but it is terrifying. You know what I mean? So I was nervous for all of you guys when she came over because I was like, oh no, here we go.
But I could see logically, I could see a neighbor coming and go, what's that sign? Stalked by a ghost? You're filming what? Who's here? There's ghosts here. Like, I get that. But it wasn't even that. It was more like you are constantly, just like me, going, I'm used to it, one, my whole life, and I'll just roll with it.
Yeah.
And I will, and I, what am I going to do? It's my mother. I have to take care of her. I have to find a way. But what you don't realize is you're absorbing all of this. You know, and then I had the fight in the war, and then I was here, and then I was home, you know, this negativity, and we love our parents, but not their choices, or we love our parents.
Yeah.
And we're in this age, which I wanted to ask you in a minute, like where we're at, and I'm still learning, oh my God, I have a lot of leftover little residue where I'm doing the same thing because it's not benefiting me. I have to even go deeper and forgive and say it's okay, and I commend myself, but it's not serving me because I'm not where I want to be and I'm not happy. I'm happy in some ways, but I'm rationalizing or things are, and it doesn't mean it's across the board for everyone, but in a way it's our time and it's not your nature because you're blue aura and it's not your nature because you're good. But anyway, that was the main thing, your mother and taking care of her. And she had a big neighborhood and your compassion and this guy who was around you. So throughout the day, we had to go like take lunch and we'd chit chat and they'd constantly tell me, don't talk too much to the person and disclose. And I'm like, why not? You're going to edit it anyway. And I'm going to pull something out. And if you just let me go, I'll get her and she's going to move to tears and it's going to be a good story. And let's just, you know, but I had to sit here and do whatever. But I remember it was later in the day and then you had to film and tell your story of, I guess your husband and, you know, I forget. And I really was asleep. I was laying there because in every show we taped, even though I was tired because it's draining to elevate, and it isn't because you were boring, but it's kind of like angels, God, angels, something, a force made me hypnotically tune out to details. Like, you know, and I mean this humanly, of course I care, but doing that work, I can't care and be here and do this. I have to tune it out. It doesn't exist. I have to only hear this. So then it was time, and I remember when they were editing, the guy that did the show told me, he goes, boy, you were nodding off and just going, you know, and I thought, yeah, because I had to, my body had to elevate out of the situation. And then I had some coffee or had a little drink or something. And then I remember his name, like Brian or something, or I don't know if that was his name. I don't know. I forgot. But we were ready to roll. and there was another camera here, and you know, I wanted to look good on the couch, and you look good on the couch, or whatever, and you can't have the air on. And when we were upstairs, I kind of felt like there were fingers on me, and mentally, I said, "Just back off, Jack. Like, you'll get your turn." So throughout the day, and then we'd laugh and giggle, and I enjoyed you, and then we're sitting there on the couch, and now I'm going to disclose, try to encapsulate everything I just did, and I think it took like an hour and a half, and it's edited into, what, a minute or something? But right before we started, I had the split decision, and like I say, I'd done all these other shows, and I thought, do I say something? Because I always said, I'm not going to come in and talk to whoever's here. And I didn't want to scare you, like, oh my God, see, there is someone, she's talking to him. But at the same time, I thought, no, this isn't going to affect you. And I think I said, knock it the fuck off. I'm working here. And it wasn't scary. It was like a child just doing this. He was so annoying and listened to me and I got beaten and just, if you can imagine someone, you know, just constantly jumping around and disturbing everything. And then I thought, if you got that on film, that would have been, we'd still be on the show.
Oh, I remember that. You completely unleashed and you were saying, knock it off, because it was, your exact words were, it was annoying you. And that's how I felt. It was just constant in my head. And it was just like, please, like, go away. Especially when I was in the shower, there was something about the water and being in the shower in the bathroom. It just was all this noise, you know, and then the going at the door and either ringing the doorbell or banging on the door and nobody was there. It was just a very annoying situation.
See, that makes sense too, because when you're in the shower, your brain waves go, what, delta, gamma brain waves, and you're elevated, and then you feel, because it isn't just about boo or spooky or something move. That is disconcerting, I mean, but it's about the emotions and when we are ethereally all connected. But I remember that, and then I remember thinking, all right, I'm going to tell your story. And so when I did, he calmed down. And then I'm not saying, okay, he said this and this. I've never talked to him, but I'm talking to whatever entities or angels or whatever, you know, I identify with loving higher beings, unfolding, like, unfairly got hit and, you know, got killed and the head injury, and then blessing it and saying, you know, let's forgive yourself and forgive your mother. And say, yes, you can still love your mother, but you say no more. I can't. I'm done. Yeah. And you had, you know, I remember like some crosses and some little figurines and little angels everywhere. And then I remember saying, take them all down. Yes. And I mean, I wear this is a Celtic cross, because a few years ago when I went through things with my own family, I had it in a meditation vision. I've worn Star of David. I've worn Buddha. I wear it all. You know, light a candle. You get it. But I saw it in a meditation, and then I looked up Celtic cross and blue sapphire, and then I found it at Macy's on sale, and I had another coupon or whatever. But it was actually pre-Christian. It meant the four north, west, south, and then the four directions and heaven and earth, and blue sapphire is a combination of all religions. And I went, thank you. So I wore it because it was to heal me. So if something was drawn, I wasn't saying don't wear a cross or have a cross up. But how I felt it was, you're working so hard and thinking you need to be protected. All you need to do is say, I can't do it. God will do it. That angel will do it. Jesus, Buddha will do it. And it doesn't mean I don't love you, mom, or my husband, or my new husband, or it just means I have to bring little baby Krista up and love her first, and then I have to love who I am and what I've accomplished and remember that first. And I just remember telling you that, and I thought, you're so beautiful, and you just glow, and you have so much to give, but we have to be mindful of not the act. It's the urge, that quiet urge, to, because we're so good at it and taking care. But when that happened, I remember that soul, whatever, just pissed me off. It would be like having a drunk person come in and just keep yelling and throwing stuff. And I just remember he tried to like punch me, and I thought, I bet she felt, that's where she felt the punch and everything. But I felt protected, but I was more put out, and I obviously love to talk. And when I'm interrupted, I get bitchy. But tell me what happened after that. So after I left, and then the follow up, and when they called, and then what happened in your life.
So yeah, the follow up, when they called me the next day, they said, you know, how do you feel? You know, and the one thing I will say is I was so grateful, because, you know, it's nice to have another woman that you can talk to about this. And that was really important to me, because I never really had that in my life where I could feel comfortable sharing these types of experiences without judgment. And it's hard to find somebody like that, you know, because a lot of times, and from my experiences, some of the women I know would like to tear me down and make me feel uncomfortable or call me crazy. So this was a wonderful experience. So the next day I was explaining, you know, I felt more at peace and at ease. But the best part about it was, after you left and, you know, everything's done, we're getting ready to go to bed at night, all of a sudden, the whole entire, like my closet, everything just broke from the closet. There's no reason why it would happen. It was unexplainable. And then it dawned on me, I'm like, okay, what that means is he decided, I'm out, I'm done, I'm gonna leave you alone. But he had to destroy something to let me know I'm out and I'm gonna leave you alone. Ever since then, I haven't felt anything. So to me, just what kind of reinforced, he's like, I heard what you wanted. I don't want to be here. You don't want me here. I'm gone and I'm moving on, and wherever he is. So yeah, he destroyed the closet. I had to get somebody in and make a brand new closet, because I mean, from the shelves, everything just went boom. Like an earthquake happened.
Yeah, it's like an exit or something, or it's like a shift of energy that is so great. And I'm watching the clock, and so it's not like I'm not listening, but I have to move around my microphone and everything. But I think, I want to keep talking about it, but we have to do this again, because everything you've brought up just reminded me of another story or another incident, or just like recently I had a client, and he just, and by the way, spooky, ghosty, mystical, I have dreams of other planets, or I look at the stars and I know I'm not from here. I've heard it all. Tunnels under Hawaii into a different dimension, everything. Doctor, lawyer, Lexus dealership manager, nurses in the hospital. I've done all kinds of talks, all kinds of people, housewives, kids. Every single person wants to know, is this okay to think this way, or I had this happen, or so you're not alone. In fact, it's the norm. That's why everybody wants, you know, I just am comfortable raising my shirt, showing my fat and going, screw it, who cares? So I exude that safety, but everybody wants to know, nobody wants to be judged. And I do, you know. Anyway, but back to this person, he called me and he just said, you know, it's not anything, but like, I'll walk in the kitchen and I know I close the cabinet and it's open, or I feel, and I just feel this nervousness, or I feel like, you know, I shut the door and then I watch it open, and just nonchalantly, and it's someone I know. And I said, I had the couch, it took a few minutes, but the point was this. It's nothing to do with you. It's nothing to do with the house. It's the person that falls around your girlfriend. And she's very frustrated and, you know, no judgment, but since childhood, blah, 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 absent father, this and that, victim thinking. We all have a little borderline. We all have a little narcissistic defense. We all have a little like, this isn't my fault, it's your fault. But whatever little trauma, whatever little thing, whatever little mommy, whatever little daddy, whatever little thing that you've learned to rescue and bring that person in, that's her hood. Broke up, it got quiet. So does that mean everybody's got somebody? Sometimes But like you said, you looked at yourself differently. And but now here we are 8 years later, and we are at a point in our life where we've managed, but now it's time to really become. And we can look at the same lessons that this soul, because this is the other thing that I never got to say, you know, like on TV or with you or anybody, or maybe I did with you, but with everybody else. Every situation, there was a higher soul who not just brought me here, but brought all of us together. And in one situation, it was a man that was never loved by his family and blah, 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 blah. And I reunited him with his younger self. And then the person that was with him, something, whatever. And I could see the light in the kitchen and it was very healing. And in another person, it was a guilt of surviving in a war. And that, you know, and then you, I know I'm trying to, I know you can do it, but just reach where it's over here and they're in a house and she's getting the same thing. But when we do the chain, like you with the head injury and your husband and the love that you have for your child and he's with you, the husband's still always with you as your guardian angel and the daughter, you know, all this other stuff is happening, but that was the connection. So the person who brought me to you was your husband that died.
Yeah.
And isn't that beautiful and soulful?
It is beautiful.
And then somebody else, it would be like the soldier that says, it's okay, I'm alive. And I described him and he had blonde, you know, like that Swedish caramel skin, and then they have caramel hair or Nordic or whatever. And I said, oh, my God, he's so beautiful and the chiseled thing. And I said, in fact, I know I'm going to see him. And I think I said that to one of the producer girls that I made friends with when we were flying home, because we flew somewhere in California to do it. And we got in the airport. We got our little food and he was there. He incarnated. He was a security on one of those Segway roller things. And I went, that's him. And he didn't look at me, but I knew, and I got chills and I thought, you know what? Angels and people, we can appear, we can disappear, we can whatever. I know it sounds mystical, but it's real. And that's another show. That's another explanation.
Oh, and I'm glad that you said that, because I wanted, that was a question I had for you down the road. If you see somebody that looks like somebody that you know that passed away and you're talking identical, could that be them?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad that you said that, because I had that experience one time and I'm like, but he's dead. But it looked just like, I mean, just like a spitting image of him. It was weird to me. I don't know.
No, or even sometimes an expression in eyes, you'll see somebody and they look at you and I go, I know that was you. You know, that is so true.
Wow.
But you know what? Will you come? Can we do this again? Because I want to continue and put a comma in it. And talk about, because I see all these things for you, and talk about your career and talk about how you are creating this intention, because we're tired of, it's not getting picked on, it's just getting overlooked. Yeah, we're tired of being overlooked, and we love what we do and who we are, but we need to bump it up. And so that I can feel in you and I feel it in me. And that's why I started this, because I wanted to, especially my, you know, target women age, but, you know, I have my kids' friends listen to me or whatever. But it was more like, how can we invite a practice to really focus on ourselves? And it's not selfish, but it's mandatory that we must say out loud, I'm first this time. And if I don't get a job, like you said, you were up for a job and you've worked with big, you know, radio personalities like Rick Dees and different things like that. And you go, well, it's because times change. But we, especially women and intuitive women and nurturing and caregiving, we're needed here at this time and space in this world to anchor a shift of possibility. And so we're going to continue that. But it's 3:59. Thank you so much. and just join me in this. I want to just dedicate this to Chris Dickey, who recently died in July. He just died July 16th, and he was an international journalist and on MSNBC and CNN, and he was our friend, and he lived in Paris, and his wife is there, and he was my husband's best friend. And so on that, I want everyone to know that we're always surrounded by love and God and angels and everything good, and never be afraid, but always ask for answers and explanations. And I will see you next week. Thanks, babe. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Confessions of a Clairvoyant Housewife podcast with intuitive expert Cindy Goldenberg. To learn more or stay connected, be sure to visit www.cindygoldenberg.com.